Hello and welcome to the Play What You Want podcast, where I talk about and review free and pay what you want role-playing game materials. Today, I am going to talk about Thugs in an Alley. That's written by Deus Ex Minima. It is a booklet that has everything you need to meet 1 to 6 thugs in an alley. So it's a random urban encounter for characters level 1 to 3, and I think it's really targeted for 5e, though it says it's for OGL, OSR, anything. I think it's really targeted for 5e, Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition. Also, the first thing right on the cover, it's a random urban encounter, but it's not, because there's not much random about it, right? Because it's like you planned to do this, unless your whole deal was that you rolled up a random encounter in an urban environment, and it said to use some thugs, and then you whip out this. It's not really random. This is in a chapbook style, where you print it up and fold it together. It has some nice stock art, and has some little design things that are nice. It has like this little ribbon that has some taglines. Thugs included. Alley also included. Rescue the NPCs. So the first page, well, it's really page 2, I guess. It's one of these things where at least they numbered most of the pages, but it's in chapbook style, so looking at the PDF is kind of weird. The first page of any text just throws some hooks at you, how they could have stumbled into this alley with some thugs robbing some people. And the players were at the tavern, and they stumbled out and run into this for some fresh air, and they run into the situation. They're on a mission to find and neutralize the specific thugs, or you're doing a favor because the thugs stole something from somebody. And then it just gives like one block of text, read aloud text. As you step into the alley, you come across an all too common scene. Some thugs have a pair of citizens cornered. They turn toward you, weapons ready. This isn't about you. Off you go. End quotes. And there's some areas in this to fill out, which is kind of fun. So it has like it says encounter the NPCs. These are locals getting robbed in the alley, and you write in the name of a drunk sailor and an angry cot holder. Then it has a little bit of background. The drunk sailor's trying to get back to the boat before the boat that he's a sailor on before the ship leaves, and the cot holder, and if you help him, he might be able to give you passage on a ship. And the angry cot holder came to town to find help with some forest monsters, which could lead to forest hills or grassland encounters. And then it has a D12, or you can roll a D12 for random names for these two NPCs. And they're pretty standard fantasy fare. Garbin Gutterwax, Mastru Deluxe, Esterm Thornbelt, but the 12th name is Bob, which is fun. It gives a little stat block for the thugs to use, and it shows their skills are just like sense of passive perception 10, which leads me to think 5e, and then they have just multi-attack, which is not 3.5 or OSR thing. I don't know what that is. And then with page 3... you have an initiative tracker for some reason, a little block where you could put in the characters and then the thugs. I don't like that, where the thugs all go, the bad enemy, I don't like it when the enemies all go on a single initiative, and that's kind of what this is insinuating that you do, and I don't like that. One of the things I often have problems with rules light systems is oftentimes initiative is seen as if you roll good, then you go before the bad guys. If you roll bad, you go after the bad guys. And then all the bad guys go at once. I don't like that. It shows how you can scale this encounter for if the players were level 1, then it'd be 1 thug for every 2 characters. If they were level 2, 1 thug for every character. And then level 3, 2 thugs for each. But it says that's a lot of thugs for an alley. You might need a different encounter. And then it gives HP tracker for 6 thugs, and each thug has 32 HP. That's a lot. At level 1. That's a lot. Like, level 1 things usually have around 10. these are supposed to be CR1/2 technically, and so that's a considerable amount of HP for CR1/2. Does 5e do damage? Like, is damage scaled way higher in 5e? I wouldn't think so. I mean, you still have just hit, die, and con, right? I don't know. That's a trip. And they have a little tactics section for how the thugs act, where if a certain number of them are getting their butts kicked, they'll run. And then it says to give the players 100 XP per thug. And then if there's a negative outcome where the characters lose, then they wake up with throbbing headaches and all their cash and jewelry and loose weapons stolen. Then it has some aftermath where you get some loot from them. But no one because you stole some gangsters' weapons, some thugs' weapons, no one in town will buy the weapons if you take their weapons from them, try to hawk them. And then there's some possible rewards if you try and tell the local sheriff about it, which range from 100 gold and a great reputation to 0 gold. And the sheriff secretly lets the thugs know where the characters are headed. And then it gives some locals of note, which is the sheriff, the gang leader, and the boat captain of that NPC's, that sailor NPC's boat captain, I guess. And some little bit of fluff of things you could use. It has a note section. There's two maps on here, actually. There's the alley, a gridded alley map, which is basic but nice enough. And there's also a hex map of the area, the Belun province, where this is all taking place. And it has three locations on that hex map of the town, the nearby castle that rules the town, and a swamp that no one, and that has a little bit of fluff for the locations, a tiny bit. So it's like, it's almost has, and there's some of this other fluff like sprinkled into everything without a whole lot of detail, which is actually fine because it would give a GM enough to like go off of if you just started. You could just start here and with a GM that's good off the top of their head, and you could have a whole session revolve around just this couple pages. So, you know, that's cool. I would and I wouldn't use this. I think that the encounter itself is so basic that I wouldn't use it just for the encounter. It's like a couple thugs beating up two people. If I were to use, if I were to use the setting, then it would be a little more useful. Whatever setting they have here, and it makes me want to like, where's the rest of the setting? But that's not the point of this. Like, the point is to have this setting that you could grow off of. I always want to know more, have more background, more of everything. But it's okay. You could have a session at a game store, or game shop, or a convention, I guess, or something. Just run off of this. With any system, it's just because like it's obviously geared towards 5e doesn't mean anything. You could do whatever with it. It's harder to transform things from one edition to another when it's higher level stuff. But when it's low level like this, you can off the top of your head Google up whatever you need to run this in whatever system, literally whatever system you could think of. It's pretty simple, and then you could kind of work off the fluff from there. So that is 1-6 Thugs in Alley by Deus Ex Minima. And you can visit the website at deusexminima.com. I haven't done that yet to see what else is there. Maybe I'll do that. So yeah, as always, have a good session. All right, it's time for the bonus comic book review. And today it's going to be something a little bit different. So this is the Atlas Comics, the new House of Ideas, Atlas Archive. I got this from Drive-Thru Comics for free. This is not what I expected. So this took me down a rabbit hole of what this is. This is a archive of a short-lived comic imprint called Atlas Comics that started in the early 70s. And it has what are now considered a lot of, you know, famous people in it. But this book in particular is like an introductory to a bunch of their characters. So it has like, it's an anthology. And they're, most of the stories are origin stories for the characters. They're not issue number ones. This is like something you would buy to introduce yourself to the characters and then see if you wanted to go buy the actual issues. The story behind this imprint is interesting. So Atlas Comics was what Marvel originally was. And that was started by Archie Goodwin. When Archie sold his stake in 68, he still somehow owned the Atlas, the original Atlas name. And so he started this new company. He eventually hired Stan Lee's brother, Larry, to be the editor. And Larry didn't change his last name like Stan did. So it's Larry Lieber. Stan Lee's original name was Lieber. He changed it. With just the first story in this, as a, for instance, The Destructor, it was written by Archie Goodwin, drawn by Steve Ditko, inked by Wally Wood, and edited by Larry Lieber. So that's, I mean, if you know a little bit about comics history, those are a couple of names, especially Steve Ditko and Wally Wood, that you'd recognize. It's pretty classic 70s fare, although, you know, honestly, Ditko's art, it does, even for this time period, look dated. Just his style is not what you'd expect from this time period, this early 70s. There's something about that does remind me of more golden age look. And the character, this first character is Self-Destructor, he's kind of it's like a accidental Captain America type guy just going out, but he's, that's not even right. His power set's sort of like that. He drank a potion that his scientist dad made and give him powers, and then these gangsters kill the kid's dad, and so he goes and takes some revenge on the gangsters. It is long. And it goes on and on and on. And just like anything from this time period, there's just way too much narration going on. And so you're also dealing with guys that were writing comics, like, you know, Archie Goodwin, and art writing and drawing comic books at a time where it was just so long-winded and dense. And you could get through that type of stuff if it's good, but man, can it be boring. The second character is bizarre, is Demon Hunter, and he's the collector of eyes, harvester of eyes. And he's got like this weird, bizarre suit and bizarre power set. He's got a cloak made of shadow he can pull weapons out of, and he's got a third eye on his costume, and he works for a cult, and the cult stabbed him in the back, and they're trying to summon demons, and he's killing the demons, but he was also an assassin for hire, or an assassin of assassins. He was assassinating assassins, and he can pull weapons out of his cloak, and then his cloak can eat demons, and it's just weird. I don't know what the hell this even is. The art's okay for some of it, but it's not great. The third story is The Scorpion, and they didn't do unlike the others where they're doing sort of an overall backstory of the guy. They do they don't do that on this one. They just go straight up for just a random short story. And this one's the main character is an editor of a magazine, I think. He's got this reporter chick who's Jewish, and her dad's an old rabbi, and these neo-Nazis, I mean, full-on swastikas, kidnap him, and they work for a guy named the Golden Führer. And the Golden Führer is pretty wicked looking. Like, it's a very unique. He's got like a golden head, these huge eyes, got a kind of a robot looking face. And they have a bunker underneath the World Trade Center where they kidnap this rabbi to, and where they have America's only atomic powered sewage to energy converter is housed. And this one has a less narration boxes, but it's still doing overt narration, like where they're driving this limo where they put the rabbi in, they kidnapped him, and they're driving down under in these tunnels, and to explain how far deep underground it is, instead of having a narration box, you for some reason have the Golden Führer telling the rabbi, if your ears are popping, it's because we are descending 1800 feet below sea level. So he didn't have to tell him that. It's just weird. There's a funny thing too, where so you got the guy who's the Scorpion, who's this main character, who's also this editor in his magazine newspaper place, and he is like reading off a ticker tape, which is pretty classy. And he says, this CIA business is downright fantastic. Marcy, get me the president. And, his assistant Marcy says, of which company, Mr. Harper? And he says, of the United States. It's like, what the hell is even going on? And then the journalist that works for him that got her dad kidnapped comes to him for help. And she's like, I called the cops. They didn't care. And he's just like, go home. I'll call the police commissioner. And then he put a tracker in her purse, a GPS tracker, I guess, in her purse, which, you know, pre-GPS, whatever. But and then she gets kidnapped by the Nazis because her dad wouldn't do what the Nazis wanted, which was to resurrect a bunch of Nazi leaders who are dead, because this rabbi supposedly created a golem at one point during the war, and they think he's magical enough that he can also bring these guys back to life. These dead Nazis back to life. There's another funny thing too, where so the main character here, Scorpion, he is tracking the girl, and he decides to like go after her with his like secret computer system, and he's tracking her, and then he decides to jump out the window of his building. He's in the high-rise building, and he says he jumps out the window. He says, "Whoops! I finally find a window that'll open, and there's no ledge to land on." So he jumped out the window without checking. I mean, he's got the grappling gun kind of a la Batman that he can shoot off his wrist, but it is kind of funny. He jumped out the window without checking that he can have anywhere to put his feet. And so now they're like, the Nazis are torturing the girl. And this song clearly is my favorite book because it's so weird. And he goes, like, they're trying to get the rabbi to, like, bring these old dead Nazis back to life. And so he says, yeah, I'll try. And when he does, like, I don't know how to do that. God let me make that golem before. I'll just say all the words I said last time. And the golem turns out to be in the rabbi's basement back in his house. It wakes up, gets in a fight with the scorpion somehow. It shows him, the golem using its glowing eyes shows him where the rabbi is, like windows through its eyes, and then tosses the scorpion aside. And then there's a scene of the golem going through the subway turnstiles and is just destroying the turnstiles, which is funny. And the scorpion's like following and continue to kick the crap out of the golem, who doesn't seem to care very much, until they end up in the Nazi underground. And there's a big fight. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And the golem eventually grabs the Golden Führer and chucks him like a missile, and it says splat, and it like just splatters the guy. And the old man's still like kind of continuing to control the golem, who then like, I don't know, punches a hole in the water main or something. And here's an example of why narration is not needed, and you can just skip it. I just skip the narration in these. Like the scorpion is using his grappling hook to carry himself, the girl, and the rabbi up out of there, and there's a panel of them like on the outside or coming out of a sewage like manhole cover, and the scorpion's like hunched over looking tired, says, after a grueling ascent through soot lined tunnels, scorpion and with human burdens on his back emerge at six at street level. It's like, we see that. That's the end of that one. And then the last one is called Grim Ghost, which is the art. I like the art in this one a lot. I looked up the artist. I looked into this guy, Ernie Colon. This one was scripted by Michael Fleischer, who also created The Spectre and worked a lot on Jonah Hex, and written by Ernie, drawn by Ernie Colon. The art's really cool, really kind of noirish. And it's this tale of the Grim Ghost is a dark vigilante. And this one's really cool. This one's worth reading, worth looking up. But he's a dark vigilante, and he's got kind of a ghost writer type origin but he died, and then Satan gave him the powers to be his avenger on Earth and brought him back to life. And now he's like invincible, and like he's stopping this robbery of these people in a mall or a department store. They're stealing furs, and they like killed the cops. And then the Grim Ghost, like, it's like a girl and two guys. Grim Ghost kills the two guys and then approaches the girl. The girl tries to shoot the Grim Ghost. He turns the bullets into roses, and then he's like really like haughty, or this Grim Ghost. Okay. He's hitting on this chick and stuff. And then he says, please, he takes the roses and says, please accept these with my compliments. My only regret is that I must send you to, he explodes her. She explodes because she sends people to hell. and he says they are somewhat likely to get singed. And then it goes into his full backstory. He was like a highwayman in the colonies. And he's like robbing Brits. And I mean, he's killing people. There's a lot of death in this. And he's killing people. And he's hitting on the women in the coaches. And one of the women in the coaches like entraps him. And he eventually gets hung, gets caught, gets hung. And that's where he meets Satan. There's like whole bunch of stuff with him in hell and Satan, him making a deal with Satan to become the Grim Ghost. I looked up this guy's art because I liked it a lot, and he did some graphic novels. He did a bunch of cartooning. He did some graphic novels for DC, some originals. He worked all over the place. He worked for Marvel. He did graphic novel with Marvel's Epic imprint, which has some really neat stuff in it. And then the last story is John Target, Manstalker. And this one's just stupid. I got to describe the guy's suit. It's all black with red gloves, red boots, red pistol holsters. He's got revolvers, but he's got a huge target on his chest. And his mask isn't a mask. It's more like a helmet. It's dumb as hell. I couldn't stand it. I tried. There's some evil wizard. Like, it's just weird when you got, like, evil wizard fights guy with revolvers. I just didn't understand this one at all. I couldn't really sit through it. Art wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either. So, but yeah, that's the Atlas Archives from Atlas Comics. As I often say, you know, I don't have a comic book. I can't draw. This is actually pretty well done. It's just of its time. So, yeah. As always, have a good session.